One of the things I do to relax is read the Church Times. This most British of church newspapers invariably puts a smile on my dial. Like the cleric from Basingstoke, who amused himself making Lego cathedrals. The Lego company, pleased to have a collared disciple, made organ pipes specially. Like the numerous clergy who have love affairs with trains. My theory is that things that go where you want them to go and plan them to go are very appealing to those whose day-to-day existence is the opposite. And then on page 7, there is the cleric with his rhinoceros. The parish priest of Dalton in Furness had created a 5-foot-long rhinoceros using wood and carpet rolls. He intended it to be a mold for future models that would be displayed around the town. I was told by someone who knows Dalton in Furness that that would be a good thing. Why, though, rhinos in Dalton in Furness? The explanation must surely be a spiritual lesson, or at the very least a fundraiser to repair the church roof. Yet no such justification is forthcoming. Simply, the rhino defies reason. And that is the point. There is no reason. Attracting people to church, feeding the poor, or changing the world does not motivate the rhino's creator. He made it just because he made it. What I enjoy about this story is visualizing the priest, Alan Mitchell, working away in his vicarage parlor on something totally disconnected from normal church life. There he crafts a horny statue that seemingly has no point. One of the wise little sayings about the Anglican Church is that at its best, it tries not to be a club for the like-minded, but a symbol that all can and do belong. And Reverend Mitchell is such a symbol. His countercultural love of rhinoceros, making them, and seeing no conflict between this and his priestly vocation, is a wonderful reminder that in the ecology of God, there is room for us all. Sometimes the Kiwi Christianity in which I'm immersed frightens me. Leadership is hailed and hallowed as professional, educated, pastorally competent, and hardworking. These are values that silently predominate even as we preach a gospel of inclusion. Where is there room for the oddball, the maverick, and the rhino lover? Eccentricity needs to be valued, otherwise we might lose it. Mind you, eccentricity is hard work. Ask any bishop or archdeacon that has received complaints, placated disgruntled parishioners, or mediated between warring parties. It's hard work dealing with the wondrous and wacky ways of clerics and the expectations of those they labour amongst. Similarly, there are parishes, not this one, of course, that seem to specialise in attracting the strange and the bizarre among their clientele. Such folk brighten and enliven the otherwise dull blend of Anglican homogeneity. Yet make no mistake, such parishes can be hard work. For inevitably, it seems that some people talk well beyond what tolerant listeners can endure, while others act in ways that are inappropriate or misunderstood. Facilitating any meaningful communication between the colours in the parish mosaic can be a task worthy of a Van Gogh. Yet at the end of the day, this uncontainable spectrum of vibrancy and variance is what makes church communities so interesting and unforgettable. I've worshipped with a giant trapped in a woman's body. I've worshipped with a time traveler from the 16th century and Jesus Christ's aunt, as well as of many of more mundane pedigree. I've worshipped too with criminals and cops, with animals and those less well-behaved, and with the harried and the harassed. It's truly a privilege to open one's arms wide and say without any hesitation that all are welcome. All are welcome to enter, participate, and commune, for all are a part of God's wonderful ecology. For some churches say, quite starkly, Jesus is the host and we are his guests. And that's why I continue to oppose the conditional welcome to receive communion. It's only for the baptized, I'm told, or for the committed, another tells me. This is club think. The I'm in, you're out, or like today's reading, I'm prepared, you're not, mentality. It's the you have to believe to belong brigade. Well, I do believe. It's just that I believe something different. I believe that God's love is not restricted to those we think are acceptable. I believe that the love called God does not share our fears, our fear of difference that wants to judge and to separate and create stories like the wise and foolish bridesmaids. I believe that God's love is so broad that there are no boundaries, no conditions. God deals with dissenters and doubters by welcoming them. God welcomes the Lego makers, the train enthusiasts, the rhino crafters, and the time travelers. And I find this immensely encouraging and hopeful. For it means, even when I'm honest and acknowledge all my foibles and failings, all my beliefs or lack of them, God welcomes even me.